Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You know what they were? They like were stickies? Very professional. Very professional. Stickies.
Okay, stickies.
One down, halfway down the thigh, and then one up in Uncle Shakey's, you know, fur pouring.
I know this, Mike, because my mom had these electrodes for her back.
Yeah.
And they had to shave her back before they put them on.
You familiar with the TV show Euphoria?
Funniest show. I watch it with, we have some kids we babysit, and I watch it with them.
It is. How old are they?
They're 6 and 5. And there's this one scene that just kills them every time. It's a bathroom scene. It's a riot.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. They're wild ponies.
Yeah, but I think that from years of inbreeding.
Hey, get off me. Give me some hay.
You can't ride me.
Wild.
Kobe Beef, I can't go to Japan.
Sorry, it's 3 o'clock. Leaving.
It's 3 o'clock. I'm done riding for the day.
I don't like to be ridden at night.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
In honor of the old Bill Maher movie, Religious,
yes.
I would now like to speak in tongues.
Oh, good.
Hamanububidibada. Sorry. That movie is just Bill Maher running around, just being a dick to people.
Yeah.
That's all that movie really
is. I remember that movie making me laugh, but it also made me uncomfortable for
Very
every
uncomfortable.
Laugh.
But it's like every YouTube video in the past 10 years now, right?
Yeah, but it was ahead of its time in that way.
Yeah.
It's Bill Maher getting as stoned as he can get and just racing around with religious zealots and just him saying, "You don't really believe that, do you?" And
I love you bring up Bill Maher being stoned. Remember how much candy they had in the office when his show was a network show and we visited their offices? There were file cabinets full of candy.
My memory of Bill Maher is Bill Maher going on Liddy and coming into the studio in Fairfax and joining Gordon Liddy and wondering why this is a funny comedian and wondering why Liddy had him on all the time and we never could get him on the show. And then I remembered you produced that show.
That's right.
Oh, so that's exactly why we never had him on. That's the reason, right? Like, you couldn't get a guest that was on the show that was walking down the hallway next door. We should have known there was a problem.
Territorial.
Yes. It was, well, I suppose. Yeah. Well, Liddy and Don and I were a little territorial. Well, he was territorial with Don.
I don't recall that.
The size of the balls. Remember that
controversy? Yes, of course.
Hello to Apex, North Carolina, Bloxham, Virginia, Cannon Beach, Oregon, Hernando, Mississippi, Mons, Belgium, and Homer, Alaska. The Mike O'Mara Show is on, and we are happy to have you along for a Thursday show. And, oh, no.
Oh, no. Spillage?
Oh, Seeper? Yeah.
No, I just... I have my travel plans. Let me alert everyone that you do not want to go anywhere. Batten down the hatches Friday, September 16th through Monday, September 19th. Do not go anywhere. There will be a hurricane.
A hurricane.
Because for the third time now, and that is Carla's birthday weekend, and for the third time in 2 years, I have tried to rebook. With the money from the JetBlue vacations,
yes.
My trip to the islands. And so it was COVID-1, then it was COVID-2, and now since COVID's not a thing, it'll either be a horrible hurricane or monkeypox.
Another strain
I'm
of
saying
COVID.
If you,
you're
I'm
calling
saying
your
if
shot,
you,
is what you're saying.
I'm calling a shot that there will be a hurricane in the vicinity of September 16th. Down here in the Florida area.
Now, I know you're
I'm
not...
I'm saying that has to happen.
I know you're not a superstitious man, except you are.
Yeah,
by saying this, are you trying to sort of get ahead of it and jinx the hurricane into not happening?
Oh,
I don't know what I'm doing. I just think that it's been so it's so difficult to take this. This is like drive across to Fort Lauderdale and take a 1 hour flight,
mm-hmm. right,
to get where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it the exciting thing was that because of COVID, they put your whole package off to the side and said you can use it within a year.
Okay,
so which is better than the average with airlines if you just chose to. Now this time they said I said, well, you know, and of course I hate to not use it again if there's a hurricane. And the lady on the phone said,
sir, you know, weather related incidents are not covered. You might want to buy some travel insurance.
And I actually did buy. For one of the rare times I bought travel insurance for this particular trip, because
it's not
I don't
a crippling expense. Trust it. The traveling insurance is
it's not cheap. It's
times three.
It's not a good thing.
Yeah. And you know, yeah. you've mentioned the islands. You should be specific and tell people where you're headed. I hope you make it to Chincoteague. I really do.
Want to see the horses?
Yeah, the ponies.
I actually want to see that one day. I know I'm rude for that, but
I'll be there
see
Saturday.
That. You will?
Yeah, I'm going to there on Saturday.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Why does it feel like you're doing a bucket list move?
Because when you have the dangling beacon of death in front of you, you get things done.
That's not a bucket list move. You've been there. That you're going to your father's house.
Yeah, well, but it's still it's
that's not bucket list. That's,
I don't know.
That's going well. That's up where his dad is.
Yeah,
now,
it's
how
still,
far?
It's
how
still,
far does it take for you to go to? How far is the drive?
35 or 40 minutes. Because even when you get you,
but you've seen the horses before, right?
Sure, sure.
Because he lives up
can
there.
Can you ride
that's
them?
That's where he
I
goes.
Wouldn't advise it, no.
You can try.
I think a lot of the horses are sickly.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was like Arabian Nights.
No, they're not like Arabians.
They're wild ponies.
Yeah, but I think that from years of inbreeding.
Hey, get off me. Give me some hay.
You can't ride me. You can't
wild. Ride
me. Talk amongst yourselves. I have to get paper.
Here are the reasons. Here are the reasons you can't ride me. Listen, I know you'd like to ride me, but... this is a Linux property, and I can't be written about that.
Kobe Beef, I can't go to Japan.
Sorry, it's 3 o'clock. Leaving.
It's 3 o'clock. I'm done riding for the day.
I don't like to be ridden at night. I don't see so good.
Are these Japanese horses?
These are anime horses. Get Wait, off.
You're telling me it's not like the Black Stallion?
No, it's not. They're not beautiful like that. I've seen the horses there, and they are not... exceptionally healthy horses.
But the little...
Well, explain that. Have you read that or where would that be?
Yes, because they come over for the pony swim, and after years and years, people that adopt the horses tend to have medical troubles.
Who adopts
them? Adopt the horse? I thought they were wild.
Well, they swim them over, and then you can buy one.
What? I know nothing about it. Can you explain more? Because I know nothing about this.
My
I know that they have horses
that swim. Are you making this up?
No, I'm not making it up. My understanding is vague, but from what I understand, once a year, they swim them over from the island to the shore of Chincoteague, and then the horses are there.
What island?
Well, Chincoteague is an island.
I thought it was Assateague.
Then you said they swim. Now, see.
Yeah, but there's another.
When you're vague, it's hard because you say they swim them over from the island, what, to another island?
Yes, I believe there is a barrier island where
you
the
believe.
Horses. Yes.
You're covering your ass because you don't know, do you? You don't really know anything about
these,
these
headlines.
Ponies.
Okay, here are the headlines, Mark.
These are headlines. Aggressive stallions banished from Assateague Island. There's another one. The Saltwater Cowboys. I'm not
so there are a lot of these like BS vague articles about these
ponies. Wild horse on Assateague Island was killed by a car. Advocates want speed bumps to make it safer.
Ow, you hit me with a car.
Are we talking about the same place?
Are these horses kept around for kind of like tourism?
I've seen a few horses like in...
You don't know.
Why do you ask a question that when I answer,
Because I realize as soon as I ask the question, you know nothing about this. You're doing what you do. You're faking it. And I don't know anything. We're not offering our listeners any valuable information.
I have seen horses in pens on the Isle of Chincoteague. So if you drive around, you will see horses. I have seen, I think, two or three horses in the marsh. Yeah, I've
Mike,
seen
Mike, I've got a picture
okay.
for you.
All right, so you've seen them in the wild.
Yes,
you've
I have.
Seen them in
yeah.
the wild.
Mm-hmm.
What is their deal?
Their deal is that for years, they have been breeding as wild horses. And then once a year, I believe it is coming up, they swim them to like Chincoteague City, the main part where the people are.
That is correct.
Then,
that is correct.
Then they are sold.
So does somebody own them?
Once they buy them, they
like restaurants or what are we talking
about?
No,
I don't think it's restaurants.
You just told me they're sold.
Yes, people buy them.
Hoop.
I think it's an auction. I don't know.
I know you don't. So just shut up for a second. let's get an article and plan.
Yeah, let's get
you just said
honesty.
You just said, and then they are sold. I said, so somebody owns them, and then you said, well, once they buy them. This has gotten so much worse trying to communicate. All I know, so if they're sold to someone, of course they're owned then.
Right.
Who sells them?
I would imagine, and this is all I can guess,
right.
is that it's sold by the actual Chincoteague organization.
Like
people that
preservation?
Swim them over. Yeah, like a preservation. It is, right. I believe, a national park because you have to pay to get in to there.
So does the money go to the government?
I've got it here. It looks like
Thank
the Chincoteague
you.
Volunteer Fire Company every year does the auction.
The Saltwater Cowboys.
That must be them.
Interesting.
Pony?
Yes.
I need more.
Well, if you learned anything from Yellowstone...
Silence. I'm looking right now.
Yeah, if you learned anything from Yellowstone,
mm-hmm.
There are different degrees of purchases. Mike, we both learned from watching the show. You
well,
buy-
Yellowstone is, you know, where I think they're called cutting horses in that show are big, big, big money.
Yeah.
Had no idea they were that money. I thought of expensive horses as being race horses and the kind of that you would breed for that. Whereas, no, there are many, many different kinds of horses that are extremely valuable. As far as these horses are concerned, when they bring them over or swim them mm-hmm. over, my question would be, and the money goes to the volunteer firefighters, does that mean they're kept on public property
until
they bring them over? Pony, have you found anything
yes,
else?
Yes, it looks like every year the volunteer fire company purchases a grazing permit from the National Fish and Wildlife Service. And that allows them to auction these horses off. And they do the auctions to keep the herd sizes from getting too large.
So essentially, it would be like someone that caught a wild turkey and sold it.
Yeah.
It's something native to the ground.
Exactly.
And then they can sell it. Okay.
How much do you think these run?
All the money goes to the volunteer fire department?
Yes.
And where the horses are all year is... Government land? Free land?
Government land that they purchase a grazing permit for.
I have a number.
I got it.
I have a price.
Okay.
You have a price for the ponies from Chincoteague?
Yes. This is from U.S. News and World Report.
Do you take that magazine, Mike?
Of note.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Every week.
Their website. Bidders spend a record $400,000 on Chincoteague pony auction.
Is that a total or is that an individual horse?
I think it's a total.
Mike? Two horses, $400,000.
Where did you get the part about the bad health of the horses?
This is just a rumor that I have heard bandied about. I talked to a guy down there. His name is Wayne Custis, and he knows what goes on. There is a movie from like the 1940s called Misty of Chincoteague, and Wayne was one of the horse riders in that movie. So he's sort of plugged in, and also because he's a Custis, he is a descendant of the lady who married George Washington. That's a very big name down there in the southern part of Virginia.
He
said that the horses are just not good purchases.
Also calls a great game, Bob Custis.
Bob Custis, yes.
Just
Custis's last stand.
Yeah.
Frozen Custis.
Ponies went for an average of $5,634.
Okay. All right. And they are not... as large as like mares, regular horses that you would see out west, they'd say.
They do look hungry. The pictures I'm seeing. But
I would imagine if you bought a horse and it was raised in captivity by a horse breeder, it stands to reason that they're going to be healthier and sturdier mm-hmm. than a horse that lives literally in the
wild.
Well,
yeah, I see your point there, but it also could be the fact that these are the wild ponies that have a bit of a heritage, and that's probably the attraction.
A lot of the reason they're unhealthy, Mike, is they subsist largely on saltwater taffy, and it's not nutritious.
And martinis.
And martinis.
Right. So this is not a bucket list item for you because you're going to see your father.
No. Well, I'm going to see my dad, but the trip to Chincoteague is because it's got a beautiful beach there. It really does.
And, wild, right? And you can drive on it, right? Can you drive on the beach there?
Certain sections, I think you can. Not where we go. It's a very yes.
That to me is American as apple pie right there. Being able to drive on a beach.
And then there's lots of junkie shops there too. There are a lot
touristy
of
places.
Yeah, and the kids like that. And the kids who are now 20, 21 years old. I can't stop calling them the kids. But they do like going to like they get like the hermit crabs and the stuff like that.
They don't like it anymore.
No, Robert, they want to go. They will play the mini golf. They will go to Mr. Whippy and get an ice cream cone. They'll do all
Mr.
that.
Mr. Whippy?
Mr. Whippy.
All right.
We have many pictures of them growing up, both posed in front of Mr. Whippy's truck, like from when they were really little to when they're big. They'll go to Ponytails and get taffy.
That's like the people that go to Disney. They have the family memories, mm-hmm. and they did it as mm-hmm. kids, and so they go that. I was reading about I get a lot of Disney news now since my trip up there.
On your feed,
I don't know. No, it's I get emails and information. I get
people
it.
Report.
I mean, it's all over the place. And people will quit on Disney. This guy was a lifer, Florida resident, uh-huh. annual pass. Popped for the annual pass, and he said he's done. Said the technology that they are implementing now to make it more efficient to go to the park has driven him away. The prices have driven him away. The crowds have driven him away, and it's not nearly what it used to be. So he is done. He said, for now, we are done with Disney. And I think the number one reason for him was that the experience – they're charging more for the experiences now, and you're getting less customer service than you got in the old days. It's just a random guy. That
welcome
I was
to
about.
America.
Yeah, I have a question for you since you're the most recent Disney attendee of all of us, and we've all been there. Do you feel that as far as the most magical place on earth and a kingdom, a magic kingdom, do you feel that it's less magical than it used to be? Because
well,
they
I
used
can't
to be
judge.
On the forefront. They used to be on the forefront of like. Animatronics and stuff like that.
The only way that I can explain it is that when I was 13 years old, 100 years ago, there was nothing more important to me in the world. There was nothing that I wanted as a kid more. And when I got there, it was truly magnificent and exciting. And the fact that they have things that were there when I was 13, I think they have been trading on nostalgia for so many years now, but when you consider the crowd scene that there is, even all the nostalgia in the world, all the memories in the world would not make me want to go. And if I can mention this regarding Disney,
please,
just a big shout out and a big thank you out to everybody now sending me their posts with pictures out in front of the Guardians of the Vomit Galaxy ride and saying, this is where Mike O'Mara vomited.
Do they know which trash can it was?
No, Rob, of course they don't.
I love
but
it.
It's very
you
nice
to
of them
to, on it, then.
To share that with me. That's in the Epcot Center you're looking for that fabulous
the future is here.
Attraction.
As you talk about as they trade on nostalgia.
I think you guys, may I say,
please.
I feel like... Look, they've bought all these properties, right? They own Lucasfilm. We're talking about a company that maybe is not what as exciting as it was for us when we were kids.
Are we getting older or are they aging out?
We're aging out. Michael, your son,
The Mike O'Mara show listener.
But he's an old soul.
Yes.
Like, Michael's an old soul. Like he's very well behaved.
Yeah,
he
appreciates.
Yeah, he feeds off his
mature enough to want to pull the plug after three days.
Get out of there, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Most kids are not like that.
Well, I just think that they lost the sort of nostalgia factor when
what's nostalgia anymore?
Well, the thing is
that
I
families
read,
have done it for 30
done it
years.
For years. But Mike,
expensive.
I did read the last of Walt's original hookers in Frontierland has passed away. So it's different now. They've got different hookers now.
Oh, are you making a prostitute joke?
Yes.
Is that what you're doing? Okay. I'm sorry.
Frontierland.
They brought me a prostitute joke, everybody. Okay, stop it.
Hey.
Stop it. I didn't even know it was a joke either. It was just very The long, sometimes the setups are too long. So thank
Walt's
you.
Original hookers, Mike.
His original hookers. That
he had to audition them in his secret apartment.
It did make me laugh out loud when I saw a whole family and a guy, or maybe it was just a guy standing out there with a couple with a who knows.
They're paying homage.
Standing in front of that little Transformer or Guardians of the Galaxy spaceship, and hi, Mike. Before Mike O'Mara got sick, vomited. Which is the technical term.
It would be
for it,
so great if we could somehow get just a small brass plaque on that trash can.
Right.
And just your name and the date.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. I'll make sure. It's a it's sad. It's sad for me to just that was the culmination of all of it. Yeah. There's nothing about that experience that I either remember pleasantly or would in any way attempt to duplicate. I may go to sad. With that said, Orlando's not off the table because I am a Florida resident.
Yeah.
So Universal Studios, it could be. But the idea of the rides,
the lines,
you know, it's in the
stacked
lines.
And
it
packed.
Just you know, I am now as and maybe this is not my 65th birthday. It was my 63rd, and I am now. I am invoking age privilege.
Yeah.
In what
if
way?
If I have a day, well, I'll give you an example. My Wednesday was a little nuts. All right. My Wednesday for me was a little bit crazy with getting my son up at about 7 a.m., getting him out the door, getting him down to his little golf camp, and then coming back and getting ready to work out, which I did. And then following the workout, taping the show. We had some show meetings before
that. Yeah.
Following the show, I was off to physical therapy and spent an hour and a half in a physical therapist's
stacked
office.
And
you know, that's now when I will do say things along the lines of, I'm too old for this. And you know, and I don't mean it. Because I don't feel old.
Actually,
and physically,
Mike,
I feel better than I felt in a long time.
Physical therapy, you should be saying, I am old enough for this. Finally.
I wasn't going to mention my physical therapy, but since we brought it up, and I don't have a running time because everything got screwed up in here.
We're at 20 minutes.
We are at 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're close to what it is. Good. Okay, I'll be able to do it with my watch. Let me just say that the physical therapy, I have, ever since I became fully bionic, that I have had pain, hip pain.
Yeah.
But hip pain in my case is not, it is, but I want to say this without making people that have had this procedure say, no, that's not unusual. It's just people that have not gone through this would not understand that your hip pain can manifest itself, not necessarily in the outside of your butt,
right,
like where you would think your hips are. It can manifest itself in the groin, in the groin area.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since I've had this, I have recovered, and I'm doing things that I've always wanted to do and doing them pain-free. Walking, point A to point B. It was painful. It was tough to do. But the pain, as far as that I still experience to this day, this have years and years and years of having this procedure, has driven me to a physical therapist. And that pain is, I can describe it this way, when you bend your knee and lift your knee up, that is what hurts. Classic examples of that move would be getting into a car. You sit down, you're fine, you lift that leg up into the car, little like that.
A unicycle.
Because once you get going with a bike, you're okay.
Yeah.
Getting into a position on a leg extension machine.
Got it.
Okay.
You're familiar with a leg extension machine
it's like
in a gym.
It's like this. You got to get up there.
Lift the knee up. Yeah, like that. Leg lifts as far as an exercise. Lying flat on your back and doing a scissor. It's just always there.
Can you still bounce little Michael on your knee?
I can, you know what? It's funny you mentioned that. That motion would be similar to, I love to drum.
Yeah.
I love to drum. Guess what I can't do anymore? I can't rock the bass pedal on my drum without it going, I can do it, but it hurts like hell.
That makes sense.
It was off to
both
the physical
sides?
Therapist. Both sides.
Wow.
Not necessarily equally all the time, but both sides. So I go to this PT person, and it's a lady.
Yeah.
And as one of the things, again, we're going to map the pain area. And the way they do that is they are going to put electrodes down near where the pain is. And unfortunately, those electrodes are just very are down in the you know, Uncle Baggy's fur patch. Man. All right. That's
thank,
where
thank God
that's
you've
where
had all
these
kids.
That's where these electrodes are. And it was a pain in the pain in the balls to do this. And so now this is after she was like
shaved you
putting,
down,
putting her thumbs on my hip,
oiled
and
them up.
Finding that. No,
did they have to shave you down
them.
To do that?
Was there gel? Was there gel?
No.
So there's a better contact.
You know what they were? They
like
were
stickies?
very professional. Stickies.
Okay. Stickies.
One up, one down, halfway down the thigh, and then one up in Uncle Shaky's. You know, fur pouring.
I know this, Mike, because my mom had these electrodes for her back.
Yeah.
And they had to shave her back before they put them on.
Oh, yee. Oh, Dio mio.
Wow.
My mom's going to kill me.
She's going to kill you for that?
Yeah.
That's horrible. It was... You got me. Oscar's got me.
I had no idea that was coming.
I didn't know that was coming at all.
No. Was like, a lot of times I can see stuff coming down the pike, but that one was really unexpected.
That was something truly.
Yeah. You sold it. God. That was really well done.
I don't know what's going on here. I swear.
She does have them, by the way.
Yeah, but not the other part. That was only so that was literally a half truth.
Okay, I know. Okay, Yoli, we're good. Just bend over a little. We're gonna take care of you right here. There you go. I'm sorry. I have lost my train of thought.
No, you're fine.
Lost my train of thought for the whole week. I think they got it. And the part of my life I've been working very hard lifting weights. I have not been doing stretches to stretch it out. I don't know whether that's going to work or not, but there are stretches that I learned right after I got this, hang your leg off the bed
a little bit.
Do that kind
the
of
PT
thing
at home.
And then this little PT thing where you kind of bring your knee up and back and knee up and back and knee up and back. But today doing leg lifts on the mat and then pivoting to, what's the thing where you, is it a bridge where you lift, I take a 40-pound dumbbell,
I put
it right over my balls, and then I lift my butt up and hold it for 20 seconds, and I do that 12 times. Making the transition from the leg lift to the knees bent to do that was, how can I describe it?
Oh, God!
It was something else.
But at least you've mapped your pain.
I mapped my pain.
Does she appear to be a fit lady?
There are various degrees of, and they swap you off to different people. So I was
like
handled
teams.
By a lot of different people and, you know, with all due respect to them, I liked it up until they started really showing that, they're in this part of the world and they deal with a lot of old people and they talk to you like you're like a child a little bit.
Loud?
How's that doing? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Like, and that's when I'm like,
dumb it down for you.
Yeah, like F you. I mean, and then when you'll say something, oh, that's interesting. You know that. You know when somebody's listening but they're not listening.
Right.
They're scanning the room.
That's it's or getting ready to get out of there. It was late in the day. Got home at 7:30.
When's this guy going to be done with these?
Jesus, you know, make his
knee
feel better.
I mean, when's
he
ever going to be finished? But I think they might have. They may be onto something with this. These exercises, you know, and they wanted me in there 2 days a week. And I said, yeah, okay, that's a good idea. Well, the whole why I'm lying is I'm not, I have no intention of doing that.
Yeah.
It's like chiropractic. You go get your information.
You know what you really deserve, Mike? If you really want to treat yourself well, what you should buy is a health plan. That's what chiropractors do.
Oh, yeah, where they try to sell you the monthly thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to go to PT. Like, that will help you.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to go, but I'm not doing it two days. I work out. I play golf 3 days a week. I work out 2 days a week. I work out 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. I play golf 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. That's 6 days. On the seventh day,
two days.
Yeah, the seventh day,
doing,
God rest.
I'm not doing that. Yeah. I'm not
Sunday
doing that. I know
for the Lord.
I'll go next week. I'm going to go once a week. Talks.
Yeah, but the problem is on the Lord's day, he can't kneel.
No.
To pray.
No, can't move the hip. No. That's it. We got to get out of here.
So you're staying home.
Staying home.
I'll watch it on TV.
Permanently. Thank you. Thank you all very much. We're going to take a break now. And later in the show today, there's a lot going on. A lot with Oscar's niece and nephew.
Yep.
Yes.
I want to talk about cats.
Yeah.
Be aware that is going to be a large part. I have the article about cats, and it's not good. We'll be right back. Thank you.
The Lord loves you. That's why you cry. Busyisms. A dog eating grass means the holidays are here. Busyisms. A broken rake is a kitchen necessity. If you know the secret, Busyisms. Hello, dear people. This is Gary Busey. I played Buddy Holly, but now I offer wisdom. Do you have thoughts you want to share? Then you should be a TMOS talking head. Just email Rob at MikeOMaraShow.com, and you can find yourself on a Zoom call with the three wise men of TMOS. Include a phone number and get ready for fun. TMOS talking heads. More fun than a Cincinnati margarine rally with extra red hots. Busyisms.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate that.
He played Buddy Holly, Mike.
I played Buddy Holly.
Busyisms. Welcome back to the show, brought to you by our wonderful, talented, caring, decent folks at Cornerstone First Financial. Mortgage demand, here it comes. The economy's been on some kind of roller coaster. Mortgage demand has now dropped to a 22-year low, while 20% of the mortgage workforce has left the industry. Mm. What does this mean to you? Well, with buyers back on the sidelines, they fear rising rates and a housing bubble, it's a perfect time to buy a home. So why not marry the home and date the rate? Mm. Buy that home you've always wanted, and you have two options. One, lock in now to protect against higher rates, or two, lock in now, and if rates go down, you can refinance your mortgage to lower your monthly payments. My friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial are the only experts that I recommend for all your home mortgage needs. They have everything you need for your home purchase, including a portfolio of real estate agents to guide you in this market. So why would you call anyone else? For any purchase, any refinance rather, call Cornerstone First Financial, one of the longest running advertisers on our show. Call Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We don't say it enough. I know we say it a lot, but good we still folks. Don't say it enough. Thank you to Cornerstone First Financial. We love them.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage. And one of our favorites, Seth Meyers, has tested positive for COVID. The 48-year-old host took to social media on Wednesday, that's yesterday, as we tape this show, to confirm that he had contracted the virus and would be canceling his NBC show Late Night for the rest of the week. Here's the quote. After negative tests Monday and Tuesday, I tested positive for COVID this morning. He wrote this on Twitter. Canceling shows the rest of the week. Apologies to our scheduled guests and loyal viewers. You're a big Seth Meyers recorder and observer.
We have a connection to the show.
We do.
Do you remember Dahlia?
Oh, that's right.
Our wonderful intern?
Yeah.
Is Dahlia working for...
She's a PA on the show.
She is? I didn't know she was. That's awesome.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
I hope she doesn't have the COVID.
Yeah, I'll text her.
Isn't that his second time? Isn't it his second?
I don't know.
I think it's the second time Seth has it, so I don't know what he's doing running around.
Well, it's been 2 years, right? He got it early... Yeah. Of the pandemic, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Well, we wish him well. Yeah.
And, funny man.
Still feel like I'm walking through a minefield with that thing. I really do, since I've been blessed not to have it. You familiar with the TV show Euphoria?
Oh, yeah.
It's the funniest show. I watch it with, we have some kids we babysit, and I watch it with them.
It is. How old are they?
They're 6 and 5. And there's this one scene that just kills them every time. It's a bathroom scene. It's a riot.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I remember that scene.
Yes.
The guy. Okay. Anyway, Sydney Sweeney, she's one of the hotties from Euphoria. Yes. She recently shared some thoughts on doing nude scenes. I think arguably, and I've watched all the Euphoria episodes, Sydney Sweeney would probably be involved in most of the nudity on the show.
She's got a little more power to fight for the script, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it's interesting what she says about it, Oscar. She said, people forget that I'm playing a character. This is about nudity on screen. Because she's gotten some criticism that she does too much of it, which is, you know, those people are out there. They think, oh, she gets naked on screen. She's a sex symbol, and I can't get past that. I have no problems with those scenes, and I won't stop doing them. But I wish there was an easier way to have an open conversation about what we're assuming about actors in the industry. I think that's legit.
Yeah.
I get that completely. And you know what? She is she's comfortable doing that, but we are still, compared to so many civilized countries in the Western world, we are so freaking uptight.
Yep.
We devour porn in the United States of America, but yet we have all of these organizations that are saying, "Oh, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do it." We're so uptight, but yet we, when the doors lock and the doors close, we're just as dirty a birdie as everybody else that's out there.
The interesting, I agree with you. It's fascinating for me. There is a double standard for a male actor or a female actor. Like, it's just, you don't ever hear from the guy side.
And you see, especially on a show like Euphoria, there's movement in the direction of pleasing people like Stephanie Larson, who's out there that want to see the thing. Yeah.
That one scene when they get robbed, everyone's naked.
Right. Let me see. I just got a text. Carla O'Mara writes, "Keep them coming." but this is also interesting in this article.
And then Bobby Cannavale, too.
Oh, Bobby Cannavale. She loved
that.
What are you saying? Yeah. You got to
towel off. Pause. Pause his Schwanstucker, please.
You got to towel
off. Anywho, this is what she said about the logistics of doing love scenes, nude scenes on camera. She says, quote, "They bring in tools to choreograph the whole thing," she explained. "Sometimes there are yoga mats that you can put in between each other, or there's like pads or yoga blocks. There's some weird stuff.
Yeah.
They come into your trailer and talk to you one-on-one, and even if you have agreed to something, they ask you on the spot on that day, did you change your mind?
Yeah.
All right. Because you can. And then instead of you having to, if you feel uncomfortable talking to the director, there'll be a voice for you. It's a really cool dynamic." Well, more power to
A lot of that is very standard now, but the first show to use it was The Odd Couple.
Don't ruin it. But, listen, the one key, I guess, industry term is they have, how you get a swatch for blinds or swatch for wallpaper?
Oh, you mean a fabric sample?
Yeah, they have a Merkin swatch.
For the pubes.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. Really is.
Yeah, they got to match them up.
Are you still using the name Merkin Swatch when you do your overnight show?
Yeah, Merkin Swatch. It's a it's kind of like a Tech 411, only a little less specific.
Yeah, it's vague.
She said it's a cool dynamic, and they're on set with you. Huh? They make sure.
Mike, we just lost your audio.
Yeah, we just out of the.
You faded out.
Just woo. Try it again. No. It sounded like it just went away. Like the power was dying.
I could hear it. I could hear it fading away. Yeah.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, you're back.
There
you're back,
it
baby.
Is.
You're back. You're back.
Hello.
You're back.
Yes,
you're back.
Much
you're
better.
Back. You're back.
I might need a. I think I need a flight of cables. We'll discuss later.
A flight of cables. Yes. Send them over immediately.
I really do. I need a gaggle of cables.
No problem.
And, that might be very, very
make
helpful.
Make sure you save the bad ones.
I remember.
Yeah, and put them in the same box. Chris Rock is talking a bit more about the slap heard round the world. He did this during a recent set in Jersey. Here's what Chris Rock said. It's only a brief quote. He says, "Anyone who says words hurt have never been punched in the face." he later added, "I am not a victim. Yeah, that S hurt, M-effer, but I shook that S off and went to work the next day. I don't go to the hospital for a paper cut." Kind of a dig at old Will. With but man, he hit him hard.
Mike,
but,
I'll see him
still a dick.
At DAR Constitution Hall here in D.C.
The Daughters of the American Revolution.
In October.
Wow.
Wait for that review of that concert. And what did you lay out for old Rock? What's he charging to get into that show?
It's a pretty good size venue.
It's not Springsteen stuff, is it?
I bought it I bought it before the slap. If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's a big deal.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But now, because I had someone inquire, like, can we go too? And I looked at the seats. I'm like, oh, you want to pay $500 a piece? Good luck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Scary. Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you get in the news. There is a forum online where restaurant chefs are sharing the red flags that you should look for that reveal a place of low quality. Most of them are pretty obvious. Most of them are things that you could notice before you order. Here's a few. Smell. If you walk in and it's a sour smell or a disinfectant smell, ugh, red flag.
Sour.
We've all done that.
Happened to us at Sign of the Whale. Charlie and I walked in there. It smelled like disinfectant. I said, something might be off. And instead of bringing us a slider tray has three sliders, right?
Right.
They brought us two.
And two sliders?
And they tasted funny.
That's
Mike,
nasty.
One of the sliders was a tribute to the owner of Sign of the Whale.
There you go. Oh, I almost did. Number two, if there's a fish tank, take a close look at it. If it's clean, the kitchen is too.
Mm.
We've been to restaurants. I've been to those seafood restaurants where the tank is nasty
foul
looking.
Yeah.
Dirty bathrooms and dirty floors equal dirty kitchen. I am a 100% weird person
100%,
when it comes to that.
Yes.
A huge menu is a sign that food is frozen and the ingredients aren't fresh. Well, that's every diner in the world.
Yeah.
I got news for you, people.
Yeah, but also the Cheesecake Factory.
I like when I had to ask, what's a scratch menu? And the guy that I asked that to looked at me like I was crazy. Like, I didn't know what a scratch menu was.
Well, that they make everything
there. Yeah, I didn't know that. How about say
huge,
made to order?
Well, scratch, you make it from scratch. Yeah. That's a big deal. And, you know, the funny thing is so many restaurants don't. And
no,
they're
right.
They're all over. The vast, overwhelming majority of restaurants do not. But then you see them on TV and you're like, where are they?
Yeah.
You know, where somebody's getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to make the buns
time
that you're putting your burger on.
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
But be aware, Mike, if you go to the 29 Tasty Diner in Fairfax, when they say scratch menu, it means something else.
They mean you'll get a slight scratch on your lower thigh.
And they will also scratch themselves before
there
service.
It is. Continuously. Carpet is number five. Carpet is one of the most disgusting things.
True.
Vacuuming only goes so far. One of the things I did when I bought my joint, I got rid of that carpet. I got rid of carpet, put down tile. It's I don't know why any restaurant would have carpeting, but usually it's a red flag. The bread at number six. If they can't get the bread right, they don't know anything. We used to call it meal bread.
Oh.
I had a lot of different iterations of meal bread at O'Mara's, from fantastic to horrible.
This is the bread you would put out like pre-appetizer?
Yeah, there was nothing bad about it.
Right.
But there were different degrees of quality. I remember right towards the end, I gave up the bread fight.
Yeah.
You know, because you get back to scratch where they make it.
What's
there,
the premium bread versus the like run-of-the-mill bread?
I think the premium bread will
always be French bread?
A product. It can be French. It can be sourdough. It can be Italian bread. But if it's made on premises, or there's a baker that they work in conjunction with, a local guy, that makes all the difference in the world. Here's the seafood. Dick Queasy, if you can smell the seafood when you walk in, then it's not fresh. Went to a restaurant out in Seattle, and it smelled like fish when I walked in.
Yeah, good guys like that.
Pony.
Wow. Yeah, this guy.
Boy, has everybody got the pervs for Thursday? Is that what's going on?
You know what you should do? You should think twice before you speak and then keep quiet.
Goodness.
No. I don't appreciate that at all.
They're friends of the show.
That's really not appropriate. And
really,
unfriendly.
Someday we'll do a routine with them.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to have the girls come by. But now we don't live across there anymore, so it's a bummer.
We're close to Camelot.
They can take an Uber.
If you see lots of plates left half full, run. Number nine, if you walk in and you aren't greeted or nobody makes eye contact, big red flare. Some of the best restaurants I've ever been to, where you walk in and it's just like, wow.
Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing.
I guess this must be somebody related to the owner. And number 10, stock photos on the menu.
Clip art. Yeah.
Clip art, but the old faded pictures.
Yeah.
Getting
a haircut. You point at the number.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's real common in Chinese restaurants. Mm-hmm. Whereas like the picture of the Kung Pao chicken is like all orange now.
It was photographed in the 1960s.
It was, exactly, yeah.
And cheap silverware is the last thing they say on there. A poll asked people if men and women tend to say sorry or apologize in everyday conversations too often or not often enough. 45% of men think they don't say sorry enough. It says 45% think men don't say sorry enough. That's the way I wanted to read it.
Okay.
15% say they apologize too much. This is men. And 18% say they say sorry about the right amount. So More people than not think that men don't say it enough. I say it a lot.
I say it just the right amount. And Carrie tells me all the time. She says,
I'm sure.
You're so good.
You're not a big sorry guy. I guarantee you're not a big sorry guy.
It won't happen again, and we all know it'll happen again.
Yeah, he's never. Rob does not apologize in his own little way. He says sorry, but it's a different kind of sorry, right? Do you apologize to your wife frequently or
all the time?
Like what?
Do you really?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Dragging her into her life that she has now. I apologize.
Really?
No, I do. If I mistake, yeah, of course.
I do constant. I'm always the sorry guy.
But
always.
But do you feel that you do it too much? I feel I do.
He creates the chaos. He's got to apologize.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Oscar. Let's see. When you break the responses down by gender, both men and women think they say sorry too much. And the other gender doesn't apologize.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
I when I do it, I will say this, and it speaks to what Oscar says. When I create the chaos, I usually like to atone for it.
Mm-hmm. You like are great to, at that. You're like, sure. and you don't wait. You're like, let me get it done.
Well, I don't. If I really believe that I'm the one that messed up. And more often than not, when it comes to my relationship, I'm the one that, will fly off the handle and say something. And then I have to, then the door closes and I go in there and I'm like, sorry. And but also there are times when there's a legitimate disagreement and I will not apologize. But the good news about that is when I do that, when I don't apologize, the good thing is Carla doesn't apologize either.
That's healthy.
And now a little something.
Does
something.
She ever apologize for taking you to a restaurant that has carpeting?
No, she can't tell sometimes when it's not online. They don't show the pictures. How could the poor thing tell?
That poor thing, little
lady. By the way, when I took up the carpeting at O'Mara's, good things happen at O'Mara's. I will tell you this, that gum on carpet. There's no point. Absolutely, especially if you've got a bar.
Yeah.
Absolutely no point in having carpet. It's kind of nasty. Now a little something something. The Ozaukee Christian School in Wisconsin was looking for some new digs recently. So it's a Christian school, and they prayed about it.
Oh, good.
And that's when God stepped in and provided them a former strip club.
Oh.
They bought the property in 2019, and not only was it a former Spearmint Rhino Gentlemen's Club, it was also a strip mall. So it's a strip joint in a strip mall.
That's where the
Spearmint
best ones
Rhino.
Are, yeah.
By the way, in Wisconsin, I think they got one of those in Vegas, I'm pretty sure.
Is it a chain?
My bachelor party, yes.
At the Spearmint Rhino?
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. They spent the past 3 years cleaning again, and then transforming the space into a 20,000 square foot school for 3rd to 8th graders. It's set to open on September 1st. The head of the school says God provided the strip club to them so they could turn darkness into light. She added that only God could write the story of this transformation. And the very best news of all is the school didn't have to buy any tether balls.
No! Don't laugh at your own joke! Say it again.
The school didn't have to buy any tetherball poles. That's an old
If I saw a family member doing their spring sing on a stage where, you would perform on a different level, I would be upset.
Yeah. They cleaned, and they cleaned again.
I bet they pulled the carpet up.
We'll be right back.
Men, are you tired of radio? All those yakety yaks filling your heads with nonsense day in, day out? After a long day at work, don't you just want your pipe and slippers and some measurable entertainment? Well, here at Moore Industries, we strive every day to make podcasts that bring the funny. Take the Mike O'Mara Show and the Bonus Hour, for instance. This joyful bantering of ball-busting humor lightens the load of your drudging life. Over here, we see our newest machine, the DGH-4000. It can crank out 50 jokes an hour. Let's see what it says. Hobble-doo-gee. Well, back to the drawing board. TMOS and Moore Industries, making the funny just for you.
Oh, lovely. I love that. That's fantastic.
That's a blast from the past, but credit to David Smolar for that one. That's
well done.
Thank you,
well
David.
Done.
David, drop us another one once in a while.
Yes.
We love to hear him. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Relief Band. Are you taking your first trip in forever? I'm worried about the impending travel nausea. A lot of people get motion sickness.
Yeah.
Here's good news. Relief Band, the number one FDA-cleared anti-nausea wristband. It's 100% drug-free. It's non-drowsy. It has zero side effects. Relief Band stimulates a nerve in the wrist that travels to the part of the brain that controls nausea. Then it blocks it. I've used it. I know it works. It's like the name says. It's a band you wear on your wrist to give you relief from nausea. And you can change the intensity depending on how you're feeling to make it stronger or weaker. It's that simple. The best thing about my Relief Band is that it works almost instantly. It's so effective, you won't believe it. So, if you're finally taking that summer trip that's been on your calendar since 2020, I've got good news. Right now, you can join the over 100,000 Relief Band users with an exclusive offer just for our listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code TMOS, you will receive 20% off plus free shipping and a no questions asked 30-day money-back guarantee. Out of the bee bag. Remember, it's better to have a Relief Band and not need it than to need it and not have it. So head to reliefband.com and use promo code TMOS for 20% off plus free shipping. Now, I want to make it very, very clear to our entire listening audience that I am not going to make this an I Hate Cats segment.
Okay.
I have joked about cats on this particular program in the years before now. I have made a joke occasionally about cats, about cats really not caring, but apparently cat lovers, this is me just sharing the information with you. I am not sharing this to bash on cats, because I know there are plenty of people. My my friends, John and Nancy, just down the street, have a couple of Maine Coon cats that are the most adorable things in the world.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
You had a kitten for a cup of coffee.
Yes, you did. You didn't have it for a long time.
9 days.
Yep.
But, you know, we have cat lovers in the audience.
Yeah. Shannon's a cat lover. She grew up with two cats.
A respected Polish scientific institute that is so Polish.
I'm listening.
Has what?
I'm listening.
Has classified domestic cats as an invasive alien species.
Mm.
They cite that the damage they cause to birds and other wildlife. Some cat lovers have reacted emotionally to this, this month's decision, and they put the key scientist behind it on the defensive. This gentleman's name, let me see if I pronounce it correctly, is Wojciech Solarz.
Okay.
He is a biologist at the state-run Polish Academy of Sciences. He wasn't prepared for the disapproving public response when he entered Felis catus, the scientific name for the common house cat. I didn't know it was Felis catus.
Yeah.
I thought that was that Odd Couple reference you gave
before.
Yeah, I did
before. Too, a little bit, yeah.
Felis catus.
Felis.
That's the scientific name for the common house cat. He entered that into a national database run by the Academy's Institute.
I enjoyed the musical. At the Kennedy Center.
Yeah, Rum Tum Tugger.
I'm not a fan. Not a big fan. Has nothing to do with this article. Not a fan of cats.
Are you a fan of the digitally removed anuses from the movie they recently made?
No, I am not.
Okay.
Is that the one with James Corden in it?
Yeah, I know you love all of his work.
He was a tabby cat.
The database was run by the Academy's Institute of Nature Conservation. Solarz described the growing scientific consensus that domestic cats have a harmful impact on biodiversity, given the number of birds and mammals that they hunt and kill. It's apparently this ridiculously large number.
Yeah, but a lot of things they hunt are pests, aren't they? Rats,
no.
Mice.
How would a bird be a pest?
Well, if it gets in your hair.
No, serious question. How would a bird, Shecky, be a pest?
A bird can attack crops.
Also,
what?
No.
It can.
Poop on your car.
May I?
It can eat seeds out of the ground that you intend to grow.
May I ask a question? Is it? And I'm,
it doesn't
I'm,
mean
I'm,
it's a pest.
I'm understanding, if I'm understanding this article correctly, it's because they kill birds and there's an unequal
they kill,
like, circle of life?
Let me finish the article because that's got the numbers
for
you.
All right.
The criteria for including the cat among alien invasive species are 100% met by the cat, this guy Solarz said. In a television segment aired by independent broadcaster TVN, the biologist faced off last week against a veterinarian who challenged his conclusion on the dangers that cats pose to wildlife. Her name, Dorota Suminska. She is the author of a book titled The Happy Cat. She pointed to other causes of shrinking biodiversity, including a polluted environment and urban building facades that can kill birds in flight. Asked if man is on the list of non-invasive alien species, Suminska said, arguing that cats were unfairly assigned too much blame, that why not put people on there as well
if we're going to pick on
the cats. Then Solars, the doctor who signed off on this study, he pushed back a little bit and he said, cats kill, in Poland alone, about 140 million birds year.
Wow.
By comparison, domestic cats in the United States kill up to, get ready for this, 4 billion birds every year in the United States, according to the University of Texas Biodiversity Center.
So there it is.
The cats I know
are all indoor cats. So it's hard for me to like, and as a city kitty, right?
Right.
It's hard for me to like buy into that, but I could see that. If you've got some square footage and your cat leaves your townhome or your farm, like they're taking down other animals. I have the list of the top five cats in pop culture. Can I give you some of that?
Pop culture cats?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear the top five.
I don't see any shortage. We got plenty of birds, don't we? I mean, we can spare a few billion birds. We still got a lot of them.
No, I think this is big bird.
No, hold on. Birds are beautiful. They're Audubon sanctuaries. No, crows suck.
Yeah.
I agree with that. So are you on team cat? Of course you are. Mobbers are cat people.
No.
So I get it.
Mobbers are dog people.
No, mobbers
are
cat people.
I like indoor cats.
Then why do we not have a cat then?
Because the people...
Cat got canceled.
What's the name of your event? What's the name of your event?
It was Cat
2016.
Yeah, and there was a grease fire at the Blue Parrot and it had to be canceled.
Yeah.
It was not fair.
Yeah, but cats are, killing a lot of birds.
I've got the top five.
Okay, pop culture cats. We go from 5 to 1.
You gotta
mind me on time, Rod.
Mr. Bigglesworth.
Oh, that's Dr. Evil's cat.
Awesome.
Hello, Mr. Powers. Mr. Skin cat, right? No hair. Hairless.
Hairless, yeah.
A Mexican hairless.
Skin cat. Skin cat.
That's a good one. I'm going to give you a ding for that particular cat. That's wonderful. Thank you.
This is a classic. Tom from Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry, greatest cat.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. My kid still likes it.
Don't like when they're friends, though. I don't like the later cartoons where Tom and Jerry are friends.
Yeah, but my son, I think, watches a lot of the classic stuff.
Good. The MGM ones.
Fantastic.
Felix the cat.
Felix the cat.
The wonderful cat. You'll laugh so hard, your sides will ache, your heart will go
pit-a-pat. Long time ago, I had to zone in on it.
Did you know that Felix the cat was the first object broadcast on television?
Oh.
Really?
I think it was at the 1939 World's Fair. They had a plastic Felix the cat.
Oh, wow.
And that's what the first image carried was.
Isn't that something?
How about that?
Number two.
Yes?
The Cheshire cat.
The Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland.
Smiled all the time. And it's the same voice as Winnie the Pooh.
Really?
Yeah.
This is where you've opened his brain up now.
He shines. He's shining now.
This is all the stuff he just keeps in there.
A guess on the number one pop culture cat in the world?
Yeah, and I hate it already.
Fritz the cat.
No, it got to be Garfield.
It is Garfield.
Hates Mondays. Loves lasagna.
What about the Cat in the Hat?
That's a great cat.
Not here.
Is that a
racist cat though? Wasn't Dr. Seuss racist or something like that?
What about Lou Cats?
Lou Cats. Thank you. We're done talking about cats. Thank you.
Kill them all, Mike.
Yeah. No, don't kill the cats. Come on. Give me a break.
Well,
keep your cats inside. That's how you fix that problem.
Garfield.
We'll take a break and we will come back with something. I don't know what the hell it is. Yeah, we'll review The Gray Man.
Yes.
Good.
The most hyper violent movie I've ever seen in my life. When we come back, and we'll bring my son in too, because he's peeking through the door.
Romeo and Juliet. Antony and Cleopatra, Bogey and Bacall. Add to that list another one of the world's greatest love stories, Mike and Carla O'Mara. Their love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Their love is like the melody that's sweetly played in tune.
And nowhere is that love story more on display than the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Yes, fall in love with love again and again with a Mike O'Mara Bonus Show subscription. Lovingly tap the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and order the TMOS Bonus Show today. You'll love it, just like Carla loves Mike.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Dadgrass. It's summer.
Oh, yeah.
Lighten up. Dadgrass is great anytime. It can help you chill out before a big meeting or be the replacement for that evening glass of vino. Dadgrass is legal organic hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Dadgrass CBD products are made with 100% organic hemp that's easy to dose and the effects come on smooth. Try their token smokable pre-rolled joints, or if you prefer, hemp flower, or their selection of CBD tincture drops. What is hemp flower? Anybody can you give me a little explanation on that one?
I believe it is the grass in its raw form.
Yeah.
Like okay. No stems, no seeds, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS to check out their products. Right now, Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/TMOS. Oscar and I have both recently concluded watching Ryan Gosling's movie The Gray Man, and I'll tell you, I stayed with it the whole time, Oscar, and I know this is going to be a point counterpoint, but this is why CGI has ruined movies. I don't mind. I love like hyper violent movies. Mm-hmm. I don't mind a violent movie at all. I just got done watching Denzel Washington in the Equalizer movies.
Right.
There's a distinction between that kind of violence in the movies and CGI that is just... I watched the movie, Oscar, and I felt as though I was watching the geniuses that paint these movies,
yes.
That draw these movies,
yes.
That they were having a how many ridiculously impossible stunts can we do, and it... Look, I know you're not. It just blew the credibility. I want to see my superheroes kind of believe that that could really be happening. And they were so violent that's what took me out of it. Not that I didn't enjoy some of it. That's what I wanted to say to you.
First, let's lay the tapestry of this film out. One, it's on Netflix, right?
Okay.
So for a Netflix film, I give a certain level of like, if you're entertaining me, and it's part of my package. Thank you.
So Netflix produced it.
Correct.
Okay.
The directors are well-known directors from the Marvel universe. Like they've built these CGI filmed movies. So they're taking their expertise and they're applying it to what be a Bourne Identity type of film. Now,
and there's a great example of counterpoint.
Yes,
the Bourne Identity films went to a certain level. And it just, I'm not going to get into the whole
Bourne films
issue.
Are all practical, aren't they? All practical stunts, all practical effects, I think.
Probably not all of them. There's plenty of CGI in the Bourne films, I would think. But I don't know.
Okay.
But I would say that level, and it doesn't matter for that. I'm just talking about the kind of violence you see. Can I just give you my take on violence in movies?
Please.
I think violence in movies, and in general, should make you pause a little bit and like go, oh my God. And we left that a long time ago. You would look at, it's always been softened to a degree in film, and then there are films where it's not softened. One of the films that I'll give as an example for that, The Godfather, mm-hmm. The murder scenes in The Godfather, yeah. And Goodfellas, and the murder scenes in a movie like Scarface. Just pretty, pretty incredibly intense until the end. This one, you watch it, I don't think you're looking at them as human beings. You're looking at them as like cartoon characters.
So I watched this movie with my niece and nephew last night, 13 and 16. I'm sure that's responsible. At times I look back at my 13-year-old niece, I said, is this okay for you? And then her brother answered, she'll be fine.
and they all will. That's our parenting tip for the day, Mike. If you're afraid,
they'll be fine.
If something's inappropriate, ask them if it's okay.
Well, the torture, the torture scene, I was like, this might be too much for a 13-year-old. I don't know.
Yeah, so Billy Bob Thornton gets it pretty good if you want to see this. We're not spoiling
No spoilers.
Anything,
okay.
The movie is impressive to me, Mike. One, because of the budget for a Netflix film.
Okay.
And you can see that.
It looked big budget.
Oh, the helicopters, the tanks, the explosions.
I like Ryan Gosling as an action hero.
As an assassin.
Terrific. Right? A terrific job. But I could have gone with 70% less CGI.
Did you find
less? So, wow.
Did you find Chris Evans?
Chris Evans was a fabulous
villain.
Bad guy.
Yeah.
But all that doesn't apply to the I just think when I see violence on film, I want to feel as though I'm in danger.
Got it.
Does that make sense to you?
Got it.
I want to feel like, oh my God, what if that really happened? And there's none of that.
Well, because suspense is one of the hardest things to capture on film.
This was like a video
game.
And
if you don't have suspense, you can't, it's actually, suspense is a part of a comedy film too. It's the delay before the joke. And suspense is really hard to time out and make work.
I would love for you to watch it.
Okay.
And just, you might be on the same page. But if you got, and you too, Matt, this isn't homework. This is, I feel like this movie is going to be larger than we all
I was totally entertained, by the way.
Yes.
I was totally entertained because the bad guys are bad and the good guys are good. And it really, it held me with that. But it got to a point, and I'm not turning it down. Look, if you don't want to hear anything about this movie, this is not.
Look, we're not spoiling.
It's not a spoiler as far as the plot.
Yes.
But I will say about one particular scene, and turn it down. Here's your warning.
Okay.
If you don't want that scene on the plane was complete crap. Total complete.
I get it. You're
garbage.
You're an aviation buff. You know the plane wouldn't break apart that way. I get it.
You're not buying into it?
I get it.
Even if you were to label the plausibility of that particular scene as being in any way able to happen. And by the way, airline disasters on planes have been beautifully done. I will give you one of the greatest of all time.
Air Force One.
Castaway.
Not
Air Force One.
No.
No, dummy, not Air Force One.
Air Force One was back when the CGI was so that you could kind of see through the people.
Right.
It was a little primitive.
Castaway. Is one of the great. I've watched it so many times because it was so. Oh my God, this could happen, and that couldn't happen.
No,
but at least it fakes you into thinking that. With that said, with the crap that's out there right now, I found it a tremendous diversion. Stayed right to the end, and here's the key.
Mm. Yeah,
you can do all that stuff I'm complaining about, but if you have a villain like Chris Evans, you have a guy. That you want to see get his comeuppance in the first 5 seconds of the film. That's guy
his niche.
Is
He's
just,
been playing great villains for years.
Oh,
well,
man.
Even Captain America, just knowing him as Captain America and then seeing him and forgetting he's Captain America.
Yes.
I will watch this movie. Can you thumbnail the plot for me? Just
sketch. The plot, it's a Jane Austen type love story.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Also,
there you go.
Set in the early 1900s.
More of The Gray Man is coming as Netflix has announced they're turning The Gray Man, and I can see this working, into a cinematic universe.
Great.
There it is. Now, welcome to the cinema land of suck.
And so it'll skew younger, Mike. They're changing the name from Gray Man to Just for Men.
Hey, look, Gray Man is not the sole violator. This started with the Bond films a long time ago. That's the way. And by the way, I know
Bond films used to be great.
That world has passed me by. But you know what? You can have a lot of it. I like to use it for good. Use it to really make us believe, oh my God, did that really happen?
Also, an Audi commercial. Lots of Audis.
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, some great ones too. Oh,
Mike, it was a great one.
Oh my God, I want a sports car. Oh, things I won't have in my life. Things I'll die. I saw a guy driving around. You know what I saw a guy around in today?
What?
Aston Martin.
Mm.
Right
really?
Down here.
Seats are too small.
Yeah.
Was he in a tuxedo?
Oh, they're like really tight.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Even you 10 years ago?
No, I'm telling you. Like,
oh,
when
oh
I was,
my
when
God.
I was,
so you're telling me if I won the Mega Millions, is it, or is it the Powerball? What is it?
Mega Millions.
Mega Millions.
Friday drawing.
If I won the Mega Millions, I would go down to my local Aston Martin dealership and say, I want that one. And they'd say, I'm sorry, sir, your fat ass can't fit in it.
What you'd have to do, Mike, is you have to go to Thornton Mellon's Aston Martin dealership.
If you want to look thin, hang out with a thin car. Hey, there you go. We got to take a break. You got a town for us today?
Yeah, the town is going to, we're going to open the gate, and I want all of you to come in.
Very good. Soundtown coming up here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. How about this? The gray man, but he doesn't fight people. All he fights are cats.
I'm in.
There you go. We'll be right back on the show. Whoa, whoa.
Where can you hear about flying squirrels going into labor and the national anthem? Well, it's on the latest bonus show, and here's a sample.
All the rooms smell like Anne Bancroft.
Didn't Nutsy's uncle or grandfather pass away? So, Polly Walnuts?
He brought a joke to the show.
And sometimes they work.
I look like Sebastian Cabot. No, that's not good, too.
That's not very current.
You want me to do it for you?
I want you to yourself.
Oh, wow.
Wow. By the way, more people watching this show now.
For the land of the free.
Oh,
get a subscription today and watch the show by clicking that bonus show banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
I thought he sucked.
Welcome back.
Great, LQ.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life is full of twists and turns, and it's always important to show up for yourself. BetterHelp Online Therapy will assess your needs and can match you with your own licensed professional therapist in less than 48 hours. BetterHelp is professional therapy done securely online, available to people worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist. You can also schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you don't have to be on camera if you don't want to. With therapy, it can take a few tries to find the right fit. I know this. I've done it. BetterHelp makes it easy and free to change therapists if you need to. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp is a great way to invest in yourself. Now more than ever, I believe in therapy, and BetterHelp is always there for you. Best of all, they are accessible when you need them. And they have a special offer for our listeners. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/TMOS. That's 10% off your first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/TMOS. And thank you to BetterHelp, people.
We call this stereophonic sound.
Sound Town.
And by the way, Mike, you timed the show perfectly today. I applaud you.
I just felt it.
It was
How
good
about
stuff.
That,
good
huh?
stuff.
That's a good thing.
All
I
right.
Like that.
Here's the latest scam that people are talking about online to watch out for. It's not lip syncing. Some people are call it finger syncing. But if you ever see someone playing,
I did that at American University.
No, Mike. It's different than that.
Oh, okay.
If you've seen someone that plays violin on the street or a subway, and they want you to donate money. They're people that are playing recordings of violins and pretending to play their violin and taking donations.
There's a guy that does that at my local Target. I saw him stop playing for a moment, and I kept hearing the music go.
So here is a fake violinist being approached by someone and being called out.
What's my problem is that there's people that actually spend time to learn how to play the violin, and you're standing here faking it, scamming people out of money. That's my problem. Like, you're not playing the song at all.
So, calling me a Karen for outing somebody that is fakely playing the violin.
Fakely.
Yeah,
she's
that's the kind of person that does that.
She's the kind
lady,
of
relax, okay? I mean, you know, that person is trying. We're all trying to just make our way.
I bet that in real life, that lady is the one that says a lot. Yep.
I mean, you're a musician, Mike. How do you feel about that?
I think that there's so many people that are just BSers. You know, we dealt with it in radio all the time.
Yep.
When we would do stunting on the radio and people would lie about something they had done. I remember a long, long time ago, a buddy and I are down at this great bar down here in Fort Myers. And we'd gone out to a ball game, and we'd had beers at the ball game, and we'd had beers after the ball game. And we were on our third stop, and it was nighttime. And this all-girl hot band comes on stage. Right? And we listened to like a set and a half. And we were both musicians until I was like, I don't think they're really playing their instruments at all. I look, do I think they're scamming you? Yeah, but just walk by, lady.
It's
calm down.
Yeah, it's sort
it's
of. Yeah.
No, it's a scam. It's, but, you know, I sometimes you just, it's not something I'd get all that worked up over, but I can understand people.
So watch out is all I'm saying, Mike.
Watch out.
Watch out. And, you know, it's funny you should bring that up because also trending yesterday on Instagram was the fact that at a recent, and I feel sorry for you for what I'm about to tell you, if you have already purchased your Motley Crue summer tour tickets, that they had film of a recent Motley Crue show where Tommy Lee was getting behind his drum kit, but the hi-hat count off and drums for the records or the song started before he played them.
Oh.
And so to check it
now
out.
Now that's a different deal right
you
there.
You paid a ticket to
Mike,
watch.
Yeah,
this
that's
is,
not cool.
What I'm going to play you is amazing. People have taken three different concerts from the tour and stacked the audio of this song. It's called Looks That Kill, okay, is the name of the song. This is going to be three different performances from three different venues, three different nights. Tell me this is not pre-recorded. No variance at all.
Wow.
Yeah, nobody would be that perfect.
No. And if you couple that with the fact that...
God, and listen, it's not exactly complex.
No.
No. And it
play
might,
the chords, dudes.
Their bass player can no longer stand up straight because of arthritis. And Vince Neil now looks like a mom at my kid's school. It's really it's really not a great show. So wow. I'm sorry if you shelled out whatever
but
money you did
didn't,
to see Motley Crue.
Didn't Tommy Lee, like, doesn't he have, like, four ribs that are broken. So how's
he's
he, how's he drumming? Well, he's not.
Obviously he's not doing
wow.
that. That's, you know, I can understand when there's a tremendous amount of choreography and the singer, you know, might try to, but even that I hate. Everybody wants real performance.
Yeah, that's what you pay for.
Money.
That's what you pay for. Yeah,
come
we've
on.
Already seen his penis talk at least. Play the drums.
Exactly. Hi, I'm Tommy Lee.
Okay, this is for Oscar.
Yes.
When people are doing work on computers and really fine electronic stuff, if you drop a tiny screw or a little circuit or whatever, it's impossible
Game
to pick
over.
Up, right?
Game over.
Scientists have figured out a way to use the legs off dead spiders as robot grippers to pick up small things.
Wow.
Check this out. Because this is, I thought of Oscar as soon as I
When you think about spiders, they have flexor muscles that will bring their joints and appendages in towards the body, but they don't have extensors. And instead, they do that with hydraulic pressure that they generate inside of the main cavity or chamber of their body. Because of that, when they die, that's why you see spiders curled up. But at the same time, that means that we can use hydraulic pressure when we use the spider as the material for our gripper to take advantage of that and extend all of its legs.
Wow.
So when the spider dies Brilliant. And it curls up, this is how they're picking up these tiny, tiny
Smart.
Things.
It's
so cool.
Amazing.
And
it's amazing.
And they're biodegradable.
That's and edible.
Yeah. You can eat.
You can eat. You can eat.
All right, Mike, I like that. I don't know why this entertains me as it does. They put out a list of 10 commonly mispronounced dog breeds, and the file attached to the news story had like a virtual assistant voice reading the dog breeds, and I just found this entertaining. So say these dog names right.
Dachshund.
I would call.
Oh, you want to take one at a time? Okay, we can do
that.
Yeah,
if you can. Dachshund. Are you able to do that? Yeah. I don't want to mess it up. I would call it a dachshund.
Yeah, dachshund, right?
Dachshund.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Dachshund. Rottweiler.
Yeah.
I
got that one. Yeah, I can do that one. Papillon.
Oh, I
would call it a papillon.
Papillon.
But only because of the Steve McQueen movie, right?
That's right, Papillon, the
you
butterfly.
Got that right. Mm-hmm.
Was it a butterfly? What was that
I
one again?
I lost that one.
Keyshai?
Keyshond.
Oh, Keyshond.
Bichon. No, Bichond. What's a Bichond?
I'm not sure.
It's a dog.
This is Shizu. Going well. Is that a Shih Tzu?
Yeah, exactly. Shih Tzu.
How does she pronounce
Shizu.
It?
Shizu.
Shizu.
Okay. No. Okay. Okay. All right.
Shiba Inu.
Oh.
Shiba Inu. Too.
Yeah. My brain hurts.
Okay.
Yeah.
we'll finish it out.
Avin Pincher. Weimaraner.
Weimaraner.
Samoyed.
What?
Bichon Frise. Mm-hmm.
That's it. Those are the top 10 voices that you mispronounced.
Really made is me, that it? Made me, it was uncomfortable.
Yeah, I thought it was odd that they would use the computer voice for it. And I'm not sure it was all that. I like Dachshund, though.
Cat hunting.
Now, Mike, the phrase Karen has come up on the show already today. This might be the ultimate Karen move. And someone posted this, I believe it was on Twitter. The neighbors were having a wedding outside. And obviously, you know when someone's having a wedding near you, mm-hmm. especially a neighbor. The neighbor right. was not invited, and maybe that's why this Karen chose to mow her lawn while the ceremony was going on. Oh.
The ceremony?
Yes.
To your loving and faithful husband, in plenty and in love.
I didn't get invited. Yeah.
That's so yeah. nasty. That is so
that's
nasty.
That's evil little, next level.
Yeah, it's a little funny, though, too. Really, can you play that one more time?
Sure, sure. Here we go. This is Karen.
To your loving and faithful husband, in plenty and in love.
Now, this next one is ironic. If you care enough about the safety of your home to have a Ring video camera, but you don't care enough that your garage could be on fire and you don't know it, that's a mix-up. These people...
Explain that again. What is that? I'm sorry.
This family cares enough to have a Ring video camera,
okay,
but they don't know that their garage is on fire.
So, are they home?
Yes. A lady okay. pulls up to their house in the dead of night and knocks on the door. This is all captured on the Ring video camera and tells them their garage is on fire. You can see smoke wafting in front of
but
the
camera. But if you're in bed and you're asleep, you probably wouldn't know. But the Ring camera is like if you get an intruder or something. So they could be tucked in their beds and they don't know that their house is burning, right?
Maybe. Unless you have a smoke detector. Would you have a smoke detector in your garage?
No, most
maybe?
People don't.
I guess you
probably
don't.
Probably not. No. Probably not. Yeah.
Which is why Carrie and I sleep in shifts.
Okay, very good.
But
no,
anyway.
No eyes are closed in the Spiewak
never,
household.
Never. But
ever.
This is the lady at the Ring camera.
Your guys' garage is on fire.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. Your garage is on fire.
But don't say guys's, please.
Your guys' garage is on fire.
Your guys's.
Your guys' garage is on fire. Causes the fires department.
So don't let that happen to you. And thank Mike, you. Russia, what have you always said?
Always the enemy.
Always the enemy.
Always. I've said it for decades.
We close
I've
with
said
this,
it for decades.
Yes, and you have said it for decades. They're pulling out of the International Space Station.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yesterday, Russia said it is planning to pull out of the International Space Station. Come on, Russia. Not only is that not cool, but pulling out of the space station is notoriously unreliable. That's how you get a baby Yoda.
It's how it happens, Mike.
That's an intercourse joke.
Yes, it is.
Right
that's
there.
All I have today.
Oh, that's it. Okay, very good. We got to get out of here. That's it. We'll be back. Great bonus show tomorrow.
Yes.
Wonderful bonus show. Stupid, silly stuff.
Fun.
Lots of fun. Dumb. Silly.
I have a game I want to debut.
You want to give us the title, the working title?
Yes, it is How Well Do You Know Your Broadcast Partner?
Oh, I thought it was called Queef.
It's not called Queef.
That's all I got. I got to get out of here. Rob Spiewak.
That's what it's called.
You'll hear that on the bonus show tomorrow. And Oscar Santana, Michael Merritt, saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye. You going to say it? Thank you.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.